You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
You know what? You're right. This isn't truth serum, because I don't feel anything. That was a lie. I do feel something. This is truth serum.
There's no such thing.
Okay. Now, I'm gonna make this real easy for you, Luis.
Okay.
Where is Scott Lang?
Oh, see, that's complicated. Because when I first met Scotty, he was in a bad place. And I'm not talking about Cell Block D. His wife had just filed for divorce. And I was like, damn, homie, she dumped you when you're on lockup? And he was like, yeah, I know, I thought I was gonna be with her forever. But now I'm all alone. And I was like, damn, homie, you know what? You gotta chin up, because you'll find a new partner. But you know what? I'm Luis. And he says, you know what? I'm Scotty, and we're gonna be best friends.
Okay, hold on. I like a good story as much as the next person, but what in the hell does this have to do with where Scott Lang is?
I'm getting there.
You put a dime in him, you gotta let the whole song play out.
He's like human jukebox.
Oh, my abuelita had a jukebox in the restaurant. Yeah, only played Morrissey. And if anybody ever complained, she'd be like, oh, no te gusta más? You know, Chicanos, we call them más. Then adios. What can I say? You know, we relate to his melancholy ballads, you know?
Lang.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome back to your show, Business This Week. Today, we proudly welcome the legendary actress, casting director, and producer, Julia Vera, known for such films as The Ant-Man and the Wasp, Speed, The Ned, Blow, and hundreds of other TV shows such as Dexter, The X-Files, Criminal Minds, and many more. She will be talking to us about her career, beginning with her roots back in Texas, all the way moving to LA to pursue a career in the film industry in Hollywood. Besides a talented artist, Julia Vera is a community volunteer and devoted Christian who always has something positive and inspiring to say to every single person she meets.
Well, thank you for the invitation. And, you know, I'd love to share my experiences as an actress, which I didn't start my career till I was 47 years old. I've always, since I was a little girl, I took classes in singing and dancing and music and all that. And I loved it. I loved acting. So I grew up, went to school, finished school, got married, had 5 kids. And my dream, I put it on the back burner. And then one day my husband comes home. We lived in Texas, we're from Texas. And he says, I've been offered a job in Los Angeles. And I said, what? And I screamed. And he said, yeah. I said, that's been my dream to go to Los Angeles. And he says, why? I said, because that's Hollywood. I want to go to Hollywood. And so, well, yeah, in 1965, I had 4 babies. And we moved to the first place we went to live was in Reseda, in a really nice little rental home. And then shortly, about a few years later, we bought a house in Northridge. And then we outgrew the house, and then we moved to further north on Northridge. But anyway, the kids grew. Thank God kids do grow up, and they do leave the house. That's the best part. Anyway, so I was working at UCLA, at UCLA Extension. And they had a program there for radio, TV, and film. And so it's a 2-year program that you pay pretty good money for it. It's a good course because it's taught by professionals. All the professionals from Hollywood come and teach, which is directing or editing and how to film, how to work a camera, the whole thing. You know, it's very, very good. Well, I was working as a program developer for it, so I learned a lot of stuff, and I said, wow. But you need to study acting if you want to be an actor. So I ran into an actress that recommended John Kirby. And so I studied with John Kirby for, I don't know, maybe a year and a half. And then one day he just told me, you know, you're ready. You should be going out. I go, where? To auditions. At that time, we didn't have a computer. That's how old I am. We didn't have a computer. We had a magazine called The Drama Log, and there in that Drama Log would be like little announcements of where they were auditioning for different commercials or film or TV or plays. And I always wanted to do a play, so I answer an ad. Oh, by the way, he told me where to go get hip shots. So I didn't know anything.
Back in those days, you had to have an 8x10 picture,
exactly,
with your information
so
in the back.
I was so green. I did not know anything. But he was so helpful. So he sent me to a photographer, and she told me what to bring, all different kind of looks. And so then I had my headshot, and then I had my... John Kirby, my teacher, showed me how to create a resume. What have you done? Even if it's in high school, did you do a play? I said, yeah, I did a couple of plays in high school. Put them down. And blah, 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 you know, little bit here and there. And so the first audition I went to, I got for the role of the mother. But that play didn't go anywhere. But one of the actors there said, they're looking for a replacement at Nosotros, the theater. You're familiar with Nosotros, Saul?
No, ma'am, I'm not.
Oh, Nosotros is like it was the elitist of the elitist theaters for Latinos. It was founded by Ricardo Montalban, John Gavin, the guy from El Chaparral. Was Henry Darrow? All of these big actors. Ooh. You're too young. you're too young. You don't know them all. Anyway.
The only one I knew was Ricardo Montalban.
Yeah, and they only exactly. knew him because of the plane, Fantasy Island. But he was like, oh, my God. He was a... He is the guy that put the Latin lover on the map. Oh, when he did those beautiful movies, very romantic. He was in a tuxedo and oh, so handsome and tall and just dropped that gorgeous. And he did the way he spoke. So all the women, there was a time, believe it or not, that all the gringa women wanted a Latino. They actually wanted a Latino boyfriend or husband.
Ah, I guess I missed out on that opportunity.
Yes, it was. It was amazing. John Gilbert also. He was an amazing actor. They were all Latinos. And you should go and look him up when you have a chance. So you can know the history of Hollywood. And, of course, one of the most beautiful women was Dolores del Río. She was beautiful. And she did quite a few movies here in Hollywood. And just a whole bunch of them. You got to look at them up because they're great. Like Rita Moreno and all those. There was some, I can't remember the name of this. I want to say Oscar Romero. I got it wrong, but it's Romero's last name. Anyway, he was a drop-dead gorgeous, too. I was invited to go to a fashion show that was sponsored by Debbie Reynolds. And so all the big, big shots from Hollywood were there. And the models were all men. They were modeling male clothing. And that Cesar Romero, he comes out with his beautiful tuxedos and suits. And at the end, he had this big, huge fur coat to the floor. And so everybody went crazy. A lot of mostly women there. Anyway, so getting back to my career, when I was doing the, when I was that play that didn't go anywhere, this actor who was also auditioning for a play at Nosotros took me down there. And because they were looking to replace one of the actresses, Claudia Fenton. And she was an Argentinian. Well, the director forgot the keys to the theater. So she actually auditioned me right on the sidewalk in front of the Nosotros Theater. And she gave me the role. She really, well, when your brain has not memorized for a long time, because the memory is a muscle, the more you use it, the better it works for you. So when I was handed the script, I don't come in, it's three acts of the play, but I don't come in until the second act. And I would memorize the first line and then the second line, and I would forget the first line. It was painful. It was scary. It was nerves from head to toe. And I said, I don't think I'm going to make it. So the other actors, there was a big cast, they started taking turns in working with me. And we would be working, there would be some rehearsing inside the theater, and we would be working on my lines on the sidewalk. I love that sidewalk. That's where I became an actress, on the sidewalk. So they invested all this time, and they really, I guess they really liked me, and they just helped me. Finally, opening night comes, and I only had 3 weeks to prepare. Opening night comes, Claudia opens with a show, and then the next night, it was my turn to take over her role, La Dorita. So it was bilingual. We had to do English and Spanish. Now, that's a challenge right there, English and Spanish. So I come in on the second act, and I'm a prostitute. And I'm dressed in a red satin dress with a slit all the way up my thigh, net stockings, red high heels, a big curly wig with a big red flower on it, big earrings, lots of makeup, false eyelashes, the whole works, right? And I have a mink stole. And so I walk in. Apparently, that's where all the ones that were in that is New Year's night. And so we're celebrating New Year's. And so when I walk in, I froze. I could not take another step. I just stood there like a statue. I could not remember one word of my first line. I could not. And I started, and I looked at the other actors who were already there sitting at tables, and one was playing the piano, and then the bartender and another actor by the bar. And their look on their face was like, go for it.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
I guess now it's time for me to give up. I think it's time. Got a picture of you beside me. Got your lipstick mark still on your coffee cup. Oh, yeah. Got a fist of your emotion. Got a head of shattered dreams. Gotta leave it all behind now. Whatever I said, whatever I didn't mean it. Sing it, you'll be right and understood.
I want you back for good.
Unaware but underlined, I figured out the story.
No,
wasn't good.
No.
But in a corner of my mind, I celebrated glory.
That was not to be.
In the twist of separation, you excelled at being free. Can't you find a little room inside for me? Whatever I said, whatever I did, I didn't mean it. I just want you back for good.
Want you back.
See, I want you back. Sing it, you'll be right and understood.
Welcome back, and we have on the line Miss Julia Vera. If you didn't know that, I don't know where have you been for the past 20 minutes, but we have the amazing Julia Vera telling us about her stories and how she got started in Hollywood. So we'll continue to hear her side of the story and how she got to be where she's at right now as one of the major stars in Hollywood.
So they're sitting there looking at me with those big eyes and like saying, go for it, do it. And they know I'm frozen. So now there's an actor who played Don Jose, who was the bartender. So he's always behind the bar, but she comes out of the back of the bar, comes over to me and extends his both hands to me. And he says, "Bienvenida, Dorita. Ya la estábamos esperando." And all of a sudden, I remember my lines. Oh, my God. It was like a big breath that went out. And I said, oh, and then I, honey, by one of the scenes that I have, I'm very drunk, sitting at a table with an actor who's a professor. And once a year, his wife gives him permission to go out for New Year's. But he's also drunk. And then there's music. There's a lot of mariachi music, canciones. And I let out this big grito, this mariachi grito. And everybody loved it. They applauded the grito. And so finally, it was over. People were coming over and saying, "Congratulations, Claudia. You did a great job." I said, "My name is not Claudia. My name is Julia Vera." And so on and on and on and on. And then here comes a lady who gives me her card and asks me, "Do you have representation?" And I said, "What is that?" She said, "Do you have an agent?" I said, "No." "Give me a call," she said. Gives me the card. I put the card away. About the end of the run, which was from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. On Sunday, that actor that had brought me to Nosotros asked me if I had called the agent. And I said, "No." He says, "Well, did you get somebody else?" I said, "No." I said, wait a minute. Was she for real? She really wants to represent me? And she said, "Yes." I said, "Wow." But you know, Saul, in getting into Hollywood, getting to work movies, television, all that, you have to have an agent. And you might have a degree from Princeton in drama, any UCLA, USC, whatever. But if you don't have an agent, you don't get the good roles. You don't get to work, period. Because the agent is franchised by the Screen Actors Guild, and they are the only ones that can negotiate contracts and sign the contract. So, sure enough, I went to see her, and she signed me up, and right away she called me, and she says, "I have an audition for you." And it was for Bank of America. I came in, they wanted a veil. This was on-the-job training. I didn't know anything. When she told me that she couldn't send me out anymore because I had to join the union, I asked her, "Well, what union?" And she says, the Actors Union, the Screen Actors Guild Union. I said, "Oh, and how do I do that?" And she said, "Well, call and find out when you can go in, but you have to pay." I said, "How much do I have to pay?" She says, $800.50. Do you know how much it is now? I believe it's over $3,000, and it keeps going up. Well, I have never stopped working because Ricardo Montalban gave us a talk, came to see us, and he says, "Never turn anything down. If it's one word, one walk in, one walk out, don't turn it down, because that's how you build your career." Okay, so I never turned any. To this day, I have 108 credits on the International Movie Database. It's keeping that fresh expectation that things are going to get so well, so good. And I said, "Yeah." And it was, I went through, she was my first agent for 2 years. Then this other agency robbed me away from her. They stole me away from her. And then they went, a few years later, they went belly up because we had that big strike, writer strike, director strikes. And then I thought, okay, well, my career's over. That's it. I'm not working anymore. Because that went almost a year that we were on strike. So I went to a birthday party and I met this husband and wife, and he was an agent, John Hugh. And the next day he called my friend. And she says, "Ask her if she's still looking for an agent." I didn't even know he was an agent. And here I spent time talking with him. So I went to see him and he signed me up right away. And he says, "Let's try it for a year." I'm like, okay. And I purpose did not get all dressed up, no makeup or anything. And I always wear my Levi outfits. And so he was just, let's try for a year. Well, I was with him for about 20 years. And he passed away 2 years ago of a heart. Yeah, he had a heart attack. And so I called a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I think I'm going to need an agent. And he says, I know exactly who to recommend you to. And it's called this Momentum Agency. When I first went to meet with them, they were on a high rise right in the center of downtown Beverly Hills, right on Rodeo and Wilshire. And I'm thinking, no, this is too much for me. I mean, they're not going to like me. They're not going to take me. Well, they did. And again, you know, they always say the same thing. Let's try for a year. Let's do a contract for a year. Okay. The very first audition they sent me to was for the Ant-Man and the Wasp, which is a Marvel movie. And I booked it. And so that sealed the deal because they say, wow, she books. Then I also was recommended to go in for print. I go, no, I'm too old to be doing print work. That's for models. I have done so much print work, so much. Matter of fact, I'm looking at one right now for Blue Shield of California. And it's a print with Octavio Solorio. And we don't know if it's husband and wife or mother and son. I don't know. But we're together. And so, and just one thing after another. Now, I got to tell you that never in my life would I thought that I would get a pension from the Screen Actors Guild, because I was vested. Year after year, I got vested, which means that I made more than the minimum to stay in the, you know, credited. You get a credit every time that you work and you make more than the amount, the minimum that they expect you to make. And so after, 29 years, I've been 30 years as an actress and member of the guild. When I turned 65, I'm 79 right now. When I turned 65, I started getting my pension from them. And the first check that they send out is a big check. A big check. I'm talking over $20,000. Way over $20,000. And then they give you your monthly pension. At the same time, 65 and 10 months, because I went early to apply for my Social Security check, I went and gave them my everything, you know, my birth certificate, my passport, everything, you know, because I go back. My family is from Texas for many generations. And so, anyway, so I started getting my both my checks. And because I keep working, I keep giving money to Social Security and to my pension. And so the check goes up every year. I could very easily stop working, but that doesn't bring me joy. I like to work. I like to go to auditions. I just did an audition yesterday over the computer. You know, there's another program called, besides Zoom, this one is called BlueJeans. I don't know if you've heard of it. And the casting directors are using that program to do the auditions here from my house. And I thank God I have a laptop. An Apple laptop, and then I set up, because they send you instructions, detailed instructions of what they want from you. They said dress nice, you know, very nice, and makeup, hair, the whole thing, and then you put yourself against the blank wall, and then you put your computer this way or your, and all every detail, and then they sent me the sides. And I had to memorize them. They had to be memorized, Spanish and English. And you know what? The same butterflies in my stomach every time I have to memorize. And I memorized them because I had 3 days to do it, because they came in on a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then Monday was when I had the audition. And it came out really, really well. But one of the things that I'm concerned about is my age. They probably want somebody much younger. Because it's for Florida Blue Medicare. And so if they want somebody in their 60s, that's usually what they say. 65 is the minimum, the maximum age.
But let's be realistic, Julia. You know clearly you do not look the age that you are supposed to be. You look easily 60. I bet you can tell that you're 60 and nobody's going to argue with you. No one's going to say otherwise. I mean, people only know your age because you bring it up, but not because it's obvious.
Yeah, well, let me tell you, it's energy. And it's positive attitude. It's how you say, I can do that. I can do it. I can do it. If you start second-guessing yourself, you're already defeated.
That's right.
Uh-huh. Or you're going to have to battle to overcome that. You have to battle to overcome your feeling of doubt and inadequacy. Go for it. Do your best.
That's right. That's the way that we do it. Thank you so much. I'll pass you right there for a minute, and we're going to go to another break with this following song, and we'll continue when we get back with more on the stories of Julia Vera, a Hollywood star.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
And that was Steel Stanley with Marathon Soul. Now, who's Steel Stanley? Let me tell you really quick a small story about Steel Stanley. back in 1989, I used to work in at Hollywood Video in Sherman Oaks, right there by Ventura and Venice Boulevard. And one of my co-workers, he was Matt Pleasant. Matt Pleasant used to be one of the assistant managers at the store. And also, he used to have a band, which he was Steel Stanley. And he was the composer of these songs. Back in those days, I was helping him out to actually produce this album. And this is one of the songs that he came up with. He was the writer and also the guitar player for the band. And it was a pleasure, actually. It was one of my first, I'll say, early gigs that I had working, you know, as producer. We used to make copies and try to sell people a copy for $5, you know, and try to make a living out of those cities. So it was my honor, it was my pleasure to actually be involved with that album, and I hope you guys like it. But now we're back with Miss Julia Vera, which is our star of the day, and she will continue to talk to us about her life, her career. And well, the next question is, Miss Julia Vera, please tell us which other enjoyments you have in life besides, you know, your career. Can you tell us a little bit about your family, or, you know, a little bit about that?
All right. Let's see. So my other joy is that I have grandchildren and great-grandchildren. You know, there's such a difference between raising your own children and the relationship you have with your own children than when you start having grandchildren. And I think that it has to do with the fact that you don't have the responsibility to clothe them and feed them and drive them to school and make sure they do their homework. And being a parent is a huge job. That's why I say that thank God they do grow up. Yeah, and I was a very strict mother because I had to work and I had to make sure that we were up by 5 o'clock in the morning so we could get them to school and I could get myself to work. And so it was a feeling that I had that this was going to be the way my life was going to be for the rest of my life. I was going to be a chauffeur. I was going to be, you know, picking up kids, taking them to practice. It's on and on and on and on until that day happened at the age of 46 and a half, I was almost 47, when I looked around and they were gone. All of them. Because I had them real close together. So they all grew up about the same, you know, same years. Boom, 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 up they went. And then, of course, here comes the first grandchild, and what an experience that is. It's not the same love that you have for your own children. No way. It's new. It's a new love completely. I don't know if you've ever been in love, but you probably have. But when you first find that first love, how do you go nuts? It's such an emotion. It's such a new thing. And then you go to the second one and the third one and the fourth one and so on and so forth. That's what happened with the children. But still, now I have the great-grandchildren, and they come over to the house, and all we do is play, swim, watch TV, watch cartoons. I don't know. They just lift up my spirit. I don't have to worry about anything.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
Lying on the sand, I
Hey, that was Endless Summer with Solas. We've been playing it all summer long, and I'm proud to have said that I work on the music video for that specific song. I was one of the producers, so I feel awesome to actually be part of that song. And this summer, we definitely wanted to launch it and try to make a little bit of noise for the song. I hope you guys like it. And we are back with Julia Vera. And the last thing I gotta ask Julia Vera is simply, can you just please tell us a little bit about, you know, what has kept you alive and how has kept you happy, motivated, or who do you give credit to actually be able to continue to succeed?
My faith in God. When I was raising my kids and I was working, I was so exhausted that I would ask God, please, Father God, give me strength. Give me strength to keep me going so I can keep going. Because I had my own business. And, you know, when you have your own business, you don't have 8 to 5. You know, it's like even on weekends, you have to go and clean up the store. But it's just I just prayed and prayed and prayed. And even this day, that's my way of thanking him. I mean, I don't ask him for anything. Believe me, I don't ask God for anything. I have everything and more. So I just thank him for what I have. I thank him. And I start with a roof over my head, the bed under my body, the food on the table, or me cooking. It's thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for everything. This was the third house that I bought. In 1976, we bought this house in Mission Hills. And believe it or not, it was $59,000. I have been offered up to $800,000 for this house, but I'm not moving. Heck no. I'm happy here. I'm comfortable. My kids can come and stay when they're on vacation. My grandkids can come and spend weeks or days with me. Whatever. It's the family home. That's what it is. The family home. But I learned also as a Christian many years ago that once you get married and then you have children, it's no longer what about me. It's what about us. And when you just first get married, it's no longer me and you, it's we. Because the Bible says it very clearly. That's why a husband and a wife become one after they're married. They're one person. And so this selfishness has to go out the window. It won't work. Marriages break up because of that insistence of, I want my way. I'm going to do it my way. This is my money. I earned it, so I'm going to go and drink. I'm going to go party with my friends. No, it's our money. Even if the wife is not working or the husband is not working and we're living under the same roof, it's our money. Yeah, and it's something that my husband passed away about 12 years ago or more, I think. But I had a good marriage. He was a very nice man. Very quiet, and I was a firecracker. I always talk too much, did too much, you know. And he always got a pleasant smile on his face looking at me. What is she getting into now, you know? What is this? Now, you know, the acting thing, well, he was very supportive of that. I said, yeah, you know. I said, And I've never had a bad experience. No one has mistreated me or looked down at me. First of all, I don't expect it, so I'm not looking for it. And because I wasn't raised that way. I was raised with the same kind of people. Our teachers were like me. Our mayor was like me. You know, the same people in Laredo, Texas. And it's such a wonderful community because only the river, the Rio Grande, separates us from Mexico. So on weekends, you just cross the river to go eat, whatever. Go listen to concerts, fiestas. Now, unfortunately, it's so changed. No, it's very dangerous. I said, don't go across. They're shooting each other. And it's true. They're shooting, and then they have the military with tanks right there on the border. No, it's changed so much. Before, you could go across the river, like when I was in college, and we'd go across the river and we'd dance till 3-4 o'clock in the morning. As long as there's people in the on the streets or on a club. They won't close. They won't close it. They don't throw you out. And then they bring you taquitos. Yeah. It was a fun life growing up out there. Things are so changed. Parents are so afraid for their children now. There's so much danger. And I didn't grow up with that kind of danger at all. And so I don't look for it. I don't feel it. I don't see it. I'm cautious. I use the knowledge and the wisdom that God has given me. I don't go walking down dark alleys, you know, or speeding. Let's see. Well, I guess that's all I have to talk about.
Well, thank you so much for your stories, Ms. Julia Vera. I just wanted to take the time to actually say thank you so much for everything. Thank you so much for spending this afternoon with us and, you know, telling us a little bit about that. We're just going to play one more song, and after one more song, we'll give you an opportunity to say hello to the San Fernando Valley and to send any message you want to send out there to our audience. All right, so with that, we go to the next song, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin, KROJ 101.5 FM.
I was abandoned and alone without a penny to my name. You're gonna make it happen, make it happen. And if you get down on your knees at night and pray to the Lord, He's gonna make it happen, make it happen.
Hey, welcome back, and we are out of time, so therefore, Miss Julia, please do me a favor and say hello to the San Fernando Valley, and any last message or any last words you would like to say before we go?
Hola. Hola, my name is Julia Vera, and I would like for you to think blue and vote Democrat, please. I love living in the San Fernando Valley and the city of San Fernando, which has an amazing history, that city. And most people don't know that there are, I don't know, like 20 generations of descendants of the original settlers on that 3 square miles that San Fernando, the city of San Fernando is. And so I love being there here next to you. And I Saul, thank you. Thank
My
you
pleasure.
So much for
My
inviting
pleasure.
Me. And thank you for giving me an opportunity to share my life and my experience and to encourage people that it's never too late.
Never too late.
Nunca es tarde.
Never too late.
It's never too late.
That's right.
To achieve your dreams. Never.
Thank you so much, Julia. Unfortunately, we are out of time, but we hope you can join us next week. Next week, we're going to have a specialist from Google. From Google, giving us some tips on how Google can help your small business with either free or very, very affordable, you know, systems, programs, and software that they have. All right. With that said and done, thank you so much for a wonderful Saturday. And we look forward to bringing your business this week, next Saturday again. Thank you so much. Take care.
You're listening to Business This Week on Radio Zolin. KROJ 101.5 FM.
A time of peace. The heart of the valley, Panorama City, with over 20,000 businesses, is the place to live, shop, and work. Panorama City Chamber of Commerce, promoting and protecting the interests of businesses in our community. Join us for more information. Visit panoramachamber.com.